Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
The cool thing about what we got going on now,
what's that, dude?
Is that if Norman Powell comes in here, he doesn't know about your stuff. So you,
I don't have stuff. Like, I don't like
you.
That.
You have an opportunity to rebuild the trust with both the players and the organization.
Okay, dude, you know what? I don't have any trust. I'm just gonna live my normal life. I haven't done anything.
Okay, Loki. That's what Loki does.
I'm not Loki, dude.
You are.
Stop saying that.
What else would
like, you do? You sit here and you're just you're putting up falsehoods.
Am I?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Would we? Dude, I gotta tell you, you are very unaware right now.
Let's get to headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com as tonight.
Say you're flanky, like flank steak.
Flan.
The Dolphins, they return to action tonight. Monday Night Football, 7:15. Game Day Uncensored comes your way at 3 o'clock. Fins are 2.5-point favorites. They'll wear their rivalry uniforms. That's cool, you know? Neon lights. You know, dude? Huh? You excited about that?
I am. You know what? To say... Like, it's something about your team being on Monday Night Football, right? Because I remember when I played, the suck teams didn't get Monday Night Football. They didn't have flex. They didn't have all that stuff, right? They didn't have rules where everybody had to play. The suck teams got Thursday night games.
Yes.
So for years, those Thursday night
games. They had to make the Thursday night games better.
Right. So what they did was is – every team gets a Thursday night game. Every team gets a Sunday night game. Every team gets Monday Night Football, right? Which I think it makes it a lot better, right? The Cowboys didn't lose.
They didn't lose. Wow. That's fair.
They didn't win, which is so Cowboys, right?
I can't believe we do ties.
Did you watch that game?
No.
I fell asleep at halftime.
Oh, my goodness. I was up all night doing stuff, and the game got so exciting right before halftime. And it was actually exciting second half. Then it goes to overtime, and it was just a thud. Matt LaFleur just kind of packed up. He's like, all right, let's tie the game. He could have gone for a touchdown. No,
so strange.
Matt LaFleur goes, nah, Packers, we'll kick the field goal. Kicks the field goal. And both coaches just kind of walked out there mundanely, shook each other's hand, and walked up. And I was like, that's what I stayed up to midnight for?
I guess, like, technically you would take the, like, you know, you're worried, so worried about not getting the win. And
It's like the point in hockey.
Yeah, you take the point in hockey. But it's just, I don't know, there's something so not football-y about it.
Not football, not at all.
I don't like it.
It's terrible.
Look at here.
How about this, ladies and gentlemen? Norman Powell stepping up to the show right now as we're excited to have him join us for the first time here on Tobin and Leroy as – the Miami Heat making the deal for Norm this year from the LA Clippers. And he's already got my favorite Instagram page, Leroy, because like he's just doing boxing all the time. He's in Vegas at the UFC Performance Center. Norm, who did the UFC
Let me say this. He's a fight guy.
Yeah.
He's a fight guy. He does dirty boxing. He does he knows all the names. He can't speak English, but he pronounced
that's not
the adult. He can pronounce every fight name perfectly.
Nice.
So, Norm, who came up with working out at the UFC facility first, you or Kyle Lowry?
Oh, my gosh. Probably Kyle because he was in Vegas before me.
Okay. I was wondering that. I was like, because we always would see Kyle there, and I was like, oh, Norm's doing that too. So that became your home Vegas? What led you out there?
Well, one, the taxes.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
You know, financially, it was better. But I've always loved Vegas growing up. So being able to go out there and, settle down and call that home has been amazing. It's super chill. It's low key from what other people think of just going on a strip and partying the whole time. When you're a resident there, it's definitely a different vibe and lifestyle.
Well, we love going out there for the fights. We saw you went out for Crawford Canelo. How was that?
It was amazing. It's that floor side. Being in Vegas, you know, a lot of the fights are out there, so I've been able to see a lot of fights, which is actually cool. I did went to the Sphere and Shoshana O'Malley and Marab.
Oh, man.
So that was cool, too. I've been to a few Canelo fights when he fought Bivol. It's fortunate being in Vegas and being able to go see those fights. But that Terrence Crawford and Canelo fight was definitely amazing.
See, basketball players, a little bit different because I stayed in – I didn't know where I wanted to live because I played in Cleveland, so I didn't know what – so I picked a bunch of spots to live a summer.
Yeah.
I stayed in offseason in Vegas. But the problem is in January, in December, January, and February – the weather is miserable in Vegas. It's cold. Yeah. It's windy. So I didn't end up getting a place. I just spent like one off season there.
Yeah.
But your off season is a little bit different.
It's the best time.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
It's hot, but it's cool.
Time.
It's peak time.
Yeah.
So people don't know that, though, that Vegas is super cold.
Cold, windy. It rains. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to talk about it? It's like if it rains for like 5 minutes in Vegas, they act like a hurricane came through.
Yeah,
like, category 5.
Yeah,
it rained 2 inches.
The sewer system there is bad, so it floods and everything.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It was crazy.
So, I mean, just what has been your first reaction to being in Miami, man? Like, what have been the first things that have popped out of you being down here?
I need bug spray. The humidity is crazy, so it brings out a bunch of mosquitoes and things like that. So, it's been great, just being here, meeting the guys, getting situated, getting the lay of the land. Everybody's been so welcoming. I'm just excited to get going. I'm excited for training camp. I'm excited for the year. I think we have a great opportunity ahead of us. I think we've got a great group of guys that are hungry and ready to prove themselves, especially the young guys. I think we have experience, top to bottom, from veterans, from me, Wiggs, Bam, who have been through it and know what it takes and is ready to go out there and, be a team that people don't want to see offensively and defensively, a team that's a top team in the East going into the playoffs.
Yeah, from your standpoint, I know you said when this initially happened there was a bit of a shock to your system, but like, when did it settle in like that you were genuinely excited about the opportunity? Because you go from a team that was very good in LA and you're having an amazing year there, and now you have kind of this new thing in front of you. Did that take a minute to settle into your mind, and then like, when did it go into excitement?
The initial just off of what you said, you're coming off the best year of your career, you're talking to a team about contracts, extensions, and then you get traded. But I think the moment I got back, because I was traded in Venice when I was on vacation, when I got back during summer league, and my first weekday Monday for my workout, Coach Spro brought front office, coaching staff out there to watch my workouts. And that's when it like really officially like settled in, where it's like, I'm here, hearing them and talking to them and just hearing them on the sidelines of me watching the workouts, and I'm going through my workouts, and they're talking about different things and excited. And, it was a great workout for me too. So that was a plus. But that's when it like kind of like hit me that I'm here and there's a great opportunity in front of me and they're excited to have me. And that's when the excitement really started to kick in.
Could you move any farther away from where you were too?
I know, it's crazy.
Right? I don't think I've ever had to go that far. But is that a big, like a change? Like, you're just talking about the bugs and humidity. Like, you spend your whole life, unless you travel against another team, you ain't dealing with humidity in L.A. Or in Vegas. And then you come here, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, I think it's just getting used to it again, because my first couple of years I was in Toronto, that was different because I came out of college. So, you don't really know what to expect. But, getting back to L.A., you're SoCal kid. Family's there, everybody's able to come to games, holidays, things like that. Now it's a big shift from that, being comfortable in that little box right there. I can go to Vegas, I can go to San Diego, I can go back up to LA.
Right.
Now coming all the way back to the East Coast, being away from family and missing those special moments that you used to miss and you got the chance to experience again, going back to missing them. I think that's going to be a little bit of a change, but it comes with the territory and the job. I think that's the biggest change that I got to get used to again.
I got to ask you about a South Florida sports connection, because we've been noticing this. I'm boots on the gram, right? how does your relationship, where does it come from with AJ Greer from the Panthers? What, that seems like such a random connection. I'm trying to figure that one out. What is the deal there?
Oh, yeah, we both attended a program with Fanatics, and they had this athlete immersion into business where they took some players from hockey, basketball, I believe the NFL, yeah, because I met Todd Gurley there. Mm-hmm. And we had, it was a three, four-day experience, and you're sitting down in these workshops and taking these classes with different professors in business and just learning how to use our brand and our platform to get us ready for the business side of things post our sports. And he was there, and we were able to talk and connect. Super cool. So now that I'm down here, hopefully we'll be able to connect again and link up and support each other.
Yeah, he's a pure maniac. Yeah. I mean, he's like one of these guys that just bashes everybody's face.
Yeah, literally, literally. But yeah, off the ice, he was super cool.
They're all like that.
Yeah,
it's the craziest thing, right? Yeah. Like basketball is the crazy guys are the crazy guys all the time, right?
For but sure.
Football, there's a little bit, there's a mix, but hockey, it's direct opposite. Like,
yeah.
What you got to do on the ice is not who you are off the ice.
For sure.
All.
And they're sitting there talking, like, when the group of them, they're talking about the, you know, the times they've played and met and this and the other and the different, like, hits and things like that. Like, if somebody hit me like that, there's no
way. We ain't going to be friends.
There's nowhere we're friends away from this
right,
at all.
Right.
Come over before we get you out of here, Norman. So you talked about that Spo meeting a little bit, but, like, these, the early talks with Spo, like, what's kind of stood out to you? The plan that he's got for you? How fired up is he? And how fired up are you for what he's got for the table for you?
I'm super excited. One, to be, you know, finally playing under him and seeing him work and his approach to the game. Everybody that I know that have come through this Miami Heat organization has nothing but great things to say about Coach Spo and what he's able to do, his mindset, and just the way he's able to manipulate the game and put guys in position for them to succeed. I'm super excited about that. And then how he sees me alongside Tyler. I know that he's hurt, but being able to use both of us on both sides of the floor, one in one corner, one in the other corner, playing off each other, coming out that DHOs, catching shoots, being able to, you know, be put in different positions to succeed. He definitely wants me focused on the defensive end as well. So I'm excited about being challenged on that side of things. But definitely opening up my offensive game and being aggressive, being a go-to guy, and guys playing, you know, off of me, Bam and Wiggs. So it's a more responsibility, but this is the responsibility that I've been looking forward to. And I told him that he can count on me in whatever situation he has me in. I'm ready for it.
And last one. Saw that you were very excited that you get the opportunity to play with Khalil Ware. That's a big lob target.
Yeah.
How does that chemistry develop? Like, you had a great year with Zubac and everything you guys did with the LAC. Like, do you see elements of, like, how you can get that connection going with Khalil, or do you kind of feel that out in camp?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fill-out process all year. You know, talking to him, getting that chemistry built. It starts in camp. You know, how I like screen set, where I want him to be in the pocket, when to roll out, reading the level of the defender in the screen, the center that's guarding a pick and roll, and areas and spots that I want him to be in for those lob threats, for them pocket passes, and just playing that weak side dunker when I'm attacking and looking for those lobs there, drop off passes. It's going to be a lot of communication. Staying after practice and working on a few things so we can get that timing down so there's no moving screens for him as well. So it's just going to be a development all year long. I've learned from Kyle and how he worked with Marc Gasol and Serge. I've learned from Dame how he worked with Nurk. I learned from James and how he worked with Zoo, and they were able to build that connection and always finding and knowing where they're supposed to be at. So having Khalil and then having Bam as well in those pick and rolls and things like that, being able to play through those guys will be huge for my game as well.
Norman Powell, welcome to Miami, man. We're happy to have you down here.
Appreciate it.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I was also telling you,
Are you hungry already? Is it snack time?
How media works? Mm-hmm. They go, man, it seems empty this year. I'm like, hell, when we were 3-13, we had to interview ourselves.
I also think that I remember last year they had to go to the Bahamas that day, so I think it was just a lot more fever pitched last year with their stuff.
No, that it was busier for this reason, because the only person that everybody wanted to hear from was Jimmy,
and he was late.
And he was late, so people were.
You were there long enough to get the look. Allegedly, oh, that wasn't the same day.
It wasn't.
No.
Allegedly,
that was months later after a suspension.
So, dude. Yeah, but it's weird because you want, as a coach and probably an organization, when you go through what you went through last year, you want to kind of hunker down, get some work in, and you want to concentrate on task in hand. Hunker down.
Isn't it hunker down?
Honker. That's what I said.
No, you said honker, dude.
What is it?
Honker down is different.
No, it's not. It's honker down.
I'm not sure.
Wait a minute. See what I mean? What did you just...
Did you just say
rigmarole and you're telling me about honker?
Did this man just say you're going to honker down?
What are you honkering down? You honker. Honker down.
Food.
You're going to a honky tonk?
No, of course not. Not an intangible. I can't go to one of those.
What are you doing?
Leroy, a hurricane's coming. You start honkering down?
That's a point.
What are we doing, Dan? Dan, what are we doing? All of a sudden, are you jumping into?
Don't lash out at Dan.
Right, I'm not Dan. So, back to my point. There's no chance.
No. I'm listening. I'm sorry.
I would just say that it's kind of a task in hand thing.
Right?
As far as the media is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
There's been more energy in this building because of all the either excitement around the team or the accomplishment around the team. When you think about this, one of the only reasons why people came here was to talk to Jimmy.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's not here. You got a lot of new faces. You got a lot of young guys. And to be honest with you, other guys on the team don't have that same energy with in respects to interviews. So, and I don't think the team cares.
No.
I think they would rather not do this day and just go to work.
Oh, of course.
Especially Spo.
Especially Spo.
So I'm not mad, right? I've been through this. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like to not have a very good season and then have to, you know, come in here and basically – say a whole bunch of things that people going to hold you accountable for all year.
Not me, dude. I understand things change.
Why are you lying to these people?
I'm not lying. Are you guys not excited?
Your emotions are about as fragile as a wet paper towel.
That's ridiculous.
I'm telling you. You're up and down the ebbs and flows of the season. You're not?
Nope. Task at hand.
You went from heating five to yelling at the nicest guy in the league.
Look, I think we all shouldn't be judged by our worst moments.
Okay, Loki.
That's what Loki would say.
I'm
a changed man.
That's what Loki said every time.
I'm very mature.
Loki said that every Avengers movie.
Even Gary's looking at you funny.
Okay, wait, I understand.
Loki said that every time. And Thor, like, he says, I lure him over and then stab him.
Right, but I would rather hurt with the heat than not have it. So like I missed.
No, I'm not. Listen, nobody says we don't all hurt when the heat don't do well.
Right.
See, you're missing a point. You're changing the.
I'm not changing.
My problem is that if they win the first three games of the season, you gonna get a hotel reservation for the championship.
Well, right off the bat, we're gonna show the Magic what's up. Trust me.
Never beat the Magic early in the season.
What?
Never beat.
Okay. We're going to.
See?
Franz Wagner. First of all, he already has the Super Cup in mind. All right? He knows what Nico did to him with the Super Cup. All right? He's lucky. He's lucky Finland got hot. Lucky. Anything can happen in a one-and-done scenario. Okay? So, Slim Jesus, he got hot. That other intangible on Finland, he got hot. All right, unlucky break. But Franz Wagner remembers what Nikola Jovic did to him in the Super Cup.
You just hit somebody with the other intangible?
Yeah, I forget what his name was, but he was. I mean,
Is it safe to say?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here.
Yeah,
correct me if I'm wrong. Finland has all intangibles.
Yes, I believe so. Sweden didn't, which I was a little surprised. Who? I don't remember the guy's name.
You know how they have like rando guys? Like, yeah. Like wait a minute, he's from. That guy's from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, that's what it was with.
Shane Larkin. Shane Larkin, right. Turkish Kyrie.
Right. I know I went to school with his dad.
Did you did?
Yeah.
Barry Larkin went to school with you?
Yeah.
That's a hell of a you, Glenn Rice, Barry Larkin.
Glenn Rice and Jim Abbott.
Damn.
They had a good baseball team.
That's good.
I
would hope so if they had those two guys.
Yeah, they went to the World Series. I think Barry Larkin was earlier. And then me and Glenn and Jim Abbott came in. So Barry might have been a year or two before all of us. We might have like crossed paths like his last year was my first year.
Man. Does it feel like the Dolphins haven't played in a month?
It's a good thing.
Is it a good thing?
Yeah. You know why?
Why?
But here's what sucked. I'm going to tell you what sucked about local football. The Dolphins needed a break. We needed time needed time to get right, to get back, to because, I mean, look, they've gotten better. Mm-hmm. They still aren't up to speed to winning consistently, and they've only played three games, and we've already executed them, right? But that's the nature of it.
It is the nature of it.
The feel good had a bye week this week, and so the combination of that. It makes you hate watch, right?
Yep. Yeah, you can come on in.
It makes you hate watch. And so I found myself rooting against Florida State. You know, probably not the best thing to do.
Well, trust me, dude.
I
can't believe they blew that game either.
I root against Ohio State.
I was very confused by that.
Even though I have a lot of friends.
I don't understand how that crowd got on there so fast.
On the field?
Yeah, that was really dangerous.
Dude was celebrating, and he had 10,000 people over top of him.
Andrew Wiggins joining us here live at media. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
It's good to have you here, man.
Are you more comfortable now?
Yeah.
Because that middle of the season, that's rough, man.
Middle of the season is a little different for sure.
And you ain't take a short trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm happy, though. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Good. What's the most trade you did in the middle of the year? Two?
I went from Cleveland. The team moved to Baltimore. Not just me. The team moved to Baltimore. Then I went to Carolina, right? And then in four games, then got shipped to Minnesota. Mm. All in the same, like it was within 2 months.
No, that's tough.
And I had only played for one place, all in the same general area where I went to college. I went to Michigan. Mm-hmm. Then ended up in Cleveland. I was, that's tough, like, my head was spinning, but – you know, it changed. The difference between me and you is that you wake right up when you get busted in the mouth in football. Like, I'm here. Let's go. Basketball, you know, offense, y'all rotate it all. No. You get the football, get hit in the face. I'm here.
What has the summer been like for you? Like, as far as it seemed like you got here, like a month ago to kind of settle in with the guys? Like, what has the process been like to know that you're going into a season with Miami?
Nah, I've been here most of the summer. I mean, I did little vacations here and there, went to certain places, but for the most part, I was here, you know, just getting me and my family situated, you know, get my little girls in school and getting everything, you know, situated. So when the season pops off, you know, we're all ready and settled in.
You ready from the beginning. Yeah. Like, that's the one thing, like basketball, baseball, like you could be playing on one bench and then 2 days later you're on the, or they take you out of the game. They just take you out of here. Like, we don't want you to get hurt. I've never had to experience that. That's crazy. Yeah. So I got to imagine it's pretty hard for you and your family, and then trying to get your mind, you know, set with the players. And did you know any of the guys when you got here so that, you know, that communication was easier because you knew the guys? Or did you have to learn? Did you have to, like, acclimate yourself or, hey, I'm Andrew. You know, like, we know of you, but we don't know you.
I might have knew a few guys, but I got traded with Kyle Anderson that was on the team with me before.
Oh, okay.
So we got traded together, so that was cool.
Okay,
too.
All right. Yeah, see, we don't, like, it's just a weird thing because, you know, people see you come in, they don't, like, know what you're going through. They want results already.
Yeah,
and you're like,
how it goes.
They say, hey, guys, I might be going through something right now. Just bear with me. But now you got a fresh start. You know, I can't be more excited because I, like, y'all see a lot. Like, he's a two-way player. The Heat love that type of player.
For sure.
I want to know, Andrew, how are you the king of the four-point play? Like, you are really
last
good.
Last year was just happening.
That was crazy. Like, every single time you hit a three, like, it was that's four. Like, is there an art to that, or is that just a thing that went down?
It just started happening last year. That was it. That's the only year I really started getting to in the four-point plays. But hopefully I just keep adding to it. You know,
not
I keep adding to it.
That's that had to be like, I was like, hey, this guy's amazing. Every time he shoots
one, he's so lengthy. So, like, when he goes up to shoot, that guy coming out there to get you got to get extra high.
For sure.
And so that already puts him in a bad spot. It's not like you guarding a 6'2 guy. Mm-hmm. Like, so he's like, oh, here he comes.
You being just around the building and seeing some of the young guys, any of their, like, development you've been excited about, just even from the time you had with them last year to now?
Yeah, definitely for Khalil Ware. You know, I feel like he's a big talent,
right.
Very talented, and I feel like the future is really bright for him. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's in the perfect situation here with the people. You know, the people love, care about him, they want to see him get better, you know, so I feel like that's the most important thing. You know, so with the mindset he has of just working hard and his talent and plus this organization's way of just preparing guys and getting guys ready for, you know, this level and the level above and keep going and going and going, I feel the future is so bright for him. And I'm excited to see what he does this year.
Yeah, like, it was interesting because he had the summer where, like, you know, Spo had the pace that you want to play at the whole time. Like, what is that thing that when you get into the league, just knowing that you got to play all the time at, like, that certain threshold for coaches to be satisfied? Like, what's that development like?
It's a build-up. You know, it's a build-up. It's hard to do right when you get on the court. I mean, especially if you're new because you haven't done it before at this level. Some people just naturally slide right in and, you know, get right to it. But this summer has been amazing. You know, I've been there a lot this summer in the facility, and he's been there also. So just getting a chance to just watch him work out and just keep getting better and better, even putting on some size has been great.
You watch any of that EuroBasket?
I watched a little bit of it, yeah.
Yeah, I got a subscription to that. That was good.
This dude paid $30 just to watch, and it wasn't even the real Euros. It was like the warm-up.
Well, they had,
like,
all of them. Sometimes I had to find a pirate feed.
I'm like, come on.
Canada's really, like, you guys are a kick-ass team now. Like, you guys have a squad. When did you realize, like, Canada was going to become, like, this monster? Like, you guys have MVPs, all-stars. This isn't just like Steve Nash and, like, that's cool now. Like, you guys have a full-fledged team that can absolutely, you know, raise hell in Olympics and international play.
Oh, for sure. And we have a lot of young guys coming in that are very special, promising future. So I think Canada is going to – it's on the rise, but it's going to stay on the rise.
What, like, is it just because people have seen the success? Like, when did it get such a fever pitch around it? Do you remember that?
I feel like it's just been building up. I feel it's been building up, and I feel like we always produced, you know, a lot of talent coming out of Canada, but it was harder to get across the border. It was harder to, you know, really expose yourself to all the, you know, American talent and American organizations. But now, you know,
they find the talent all over the world,
no matter where you're at now. You know, the process is a little bit easier, and now we're getting a chance to showcase how talented Canada really is, and, you know, it's showing.
What has you and the family liked the most about Miami so far? Just getting time to comfort, be around the city. Has there been a thing that you enjoy the most?
We like the weather. I'm from Toronto, so it gets cold up
there. You haven't had a hurricane yet, huh?
Nah.
Okay, well, I'm going to check in on you.
Yeah, I'm not close to the water, though. I made sure I ain't going close to the water.
But it's not even that. You'll see. I can't explain. It don't have to be a bad one.
Yeah.
But when you can't get toilet paper and water because everybody hyperventilating in South Florida. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? You know what? That Leroy told me. then we'll chat. The power don't have to go out. Yeah. Sometimes somebody, the wind will blow, like, all the power be out all over.
I love the idea of you thinking Andrew Wiggins is going to Publix. Like, he's going, like, are you, I feel like the supplies are getting sent to Andrew Wiggins during a hurricane.
Let me explain something to you. Hmm? Sometimes all those things don't work, and a representative of the family don't have. So if his wife go to Publix and she have issues and come back home, he going to feel it.
Have you gone to Publix yet?
No, I go. I'm like a Target, Whole Foods type of guy. Yeah, no, I enjoy going though.
You should check out the.
My daughter's like going. The little cart, push them around. We go shopping, all that. Yeah.
You a sub fan? Like, they got the Pub Sub. That's the famous thing down here.
Pub Sub.
Yes.
Okay.
You check that out. Like, they usually do it upright. What?
Come on, man.
What?
He just said he go to Whole Foods.
I understand. Well, Whole Foods has that fancy.
He gets some fancy sandwiches.
You gotta be specific with the
fancy sandwiches with the portobello mushrooms on it.
You get that bucket, the hot bucket in there.
No, man.
What? That's what they got at the Whole Foods. Like,
no. He just called them Whole Foods, say, make me one of those portobello mushroom things. He over and get it in a minute. Like, no, we ain't got it like that.
Andrew Wiggins joining us here. What do you think about Norman Powell joining you guys? How excited are you about that?
I'm excited. You know, I've been battling with him for years since he's on the Raptors, and I was in Minnesota. So it's been a long time. So it's good to finally be on the same squad and, you know, battle together. He had a hell of a year last year. Mm-hmm. I know he's only going to keep getting better and better. So he's a perfect fit for this team, and I'm very excited.
It feels like you guys got a lot of guys. I mean, just a lot of two-way talents that can give teams a lot of hell. Like, have you visualized what that can be for you guys?
Oh, for sure. You know, on both sides of the floor, you know, we have a lot of guys that can do a lot of different special things. So
it's going to be exciting, man. Andrew Wiggins, thanks for the time, man. We really appreciate you. Appreciate you stopping by, and we're looking forward to this first full year down here.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Right after this, I'm driving my ass right to the studio. And getting it going for game day, uncensored football voice. Dan, you got a post game today? Going to take those calls? It could be a bloodbath tonight, dude.
Either way, it's going to be fun. Yeah, we're going to
either way, it's going to be fun, dude.
Win or lose. Ooh, it's going to be exciting.
If they lose, Dan Day is literally going to be like, going there. There's going to be 20 people on hold already.
Just open the show. 104.3 FM WQAM. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, 100 people are going to. Well, I guess there's going to be another banner today. Supposedly, I read on, I think on Dolphins Reddit, it's a trio banner. It's a fire McDaniel, fire Chris Greer, and Bench Tua, I believe, will also be on the banner.
This is how bad it was. I was on vacation.
Wait, but flying over?
Like during tailgates.
Oh.
First 2 weeks of the season, I was on vacation, Grand Canyon, all this stuff. I was in Vegas, and they had some Bills fans. And when I told them I was a Dolphins fan, they didn't even talk noise. They were just like, man, your poor coach is going to get fired.
That's the worst. That's the worst.
Don't take pity on me.
Yeah, I remember that, Dan, when I went to the NLCS in 2003. And when the Marlins were getting their teeth kicked in, like they lost three straight. And then finally, Game 5 happened, and there was a ton of Cubs fans because the Cubs hadn't won the World Series yet. They were still trying to break it. This was, of course, the year of Steve Bartman. And, you know, they were so nice. And then, like, Josh Beckett comes out in Game 5, and he pitches a complete game gem to get the Marlins a win to send it back to Chicago. And all the Chicago, oh, that's so nice. I'm so happy. You know, I was with my grandfather. We had the season tickets, so we were just like, I'm happy for you guys. Don't treat me like that. I don't like that. You know, we're blood rivals right now. I don't want that at all. And listen, lo and behold, little did they know, they all thought they were going to the World Series because they thought it was going to Chicago. Like, oh, we got two games to clinch it and send it. Nope. Steve Bartman then happened, and of course, bad Alex Gonzalez. Good Alex Gonzalez, greatest defensive shortstop you've ever seen in your life. Bad Alex Gonzalez on the Cubs, big boot in that era, led to, of course, Mike Mordecai. and Derek Lee. And basically everybody got a hit that inning. It was crazy. And then in the next game, Kerry Wood goes deep. You know, they think they're going to win game seven. Nope, doesn't happen there either. It was fantastic. So anyway, tonight, though, I do worry because like I think the Dolphins can win this game. I do. I don't think that they're taking on a juggernaut. You know, this is definitely a step down. Now, I hope that they come at this game with, like, this crazy urgency. I heard Anthony Weaver over the weekend and him calling for violence. And I got to say, I loved it. It was pretty goosies because the defensive coordinator for the Dolphins, he seemed very pleasant, you know, just a nice. And he was just like, oh, you think I'm, it's like, he goes, sometimes violence is the answer. And I was like, wow, that's good. I like that from a defensive coordinator. And I was just like, straight to the point, boom, this is what we need. And that's what I'm hoping for. Because this defense, I mean, it's basically taken every game. Just, I mean, forget the Colts game. That was an embarrassment. But every other game, it's taken like six tries for this team to get together on defense. So I just want them to come out. If they could get a turnover early on just to get the crowd fired up, Jennifer. Like, that's what I need. I need a big play, Dan Day. Something to just get the vibes right.
Have you talked about the stat? We're one of three teams, maybe now only one team. I didn't follow the stats yesterday that has yet to get a turnover this season.
I knew that they didn't have a turnover. I didn't realize how many, but you're probably right. I imagine that more teams. It's like, dude, it happens by accident. How do you not walk into a turnover? I watched yesterday. How did you find snacks? Look at you. He's so proud of himself. What are you doing? Oh, you just went to the vending machine. I know where you went.
I found snacks. That's all that matters.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Proud of you. Okay, you don't have to crunch into the microphone, though. You can be a professional. Thanks. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. But anyway, how do you not walk into a turnover, like, accidentally?
Like, how does a punter not, you know, miss a snap and you
I don't know. Something? Can they just get one little break? One little break to go their way. And so I guess, you know, Weaver's point is, I guess we got to make our own breaks. We got to be more violent.
Well, here's the deal. I love the part of that when he was talking about violence. Contrary to popular belief, good defensive football requires a certain level of just nastiness. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of the thing that Dan Campbell tried to emphasize with offensive line play. That's just the nature of football. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell people, but that's the reality of what we do. Like, your job is to try to physically impose your will against the other team. That's why running the football and stopping the run tells such a big story about what's going on during a football game. And so that's what you need to understand. So he made a valid point. Mm-hmm. He said, everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, but they're not doing it to be successful. Mm-hmm. That's where the physical aspect of what they do comes in. And you had guys, and it's unfortunate that it works this way, but you have guys who don't have the athletic ability of some of the guys playing that have to play that way. And so when you look at a guy like Zach Sealer that bounced around for a minute,
Sealer it on up.
He gets to a place where his physicality is the most important thing, right? And that's what enabled him to be successful. So he's saying all the things that people don't think are happening anyway. But that's just a very common thing of how you play defense. When you think of, I named some of the defenses. When you think of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed.
Yep.
When you think of Sean Taylor, right? There's just certain guys in football, when you think of the style of game they play, you think of what we've just said. So it's not a secret, right? It's kind of like the difference between he want Wild Thing with the crazy haircut, not Wild Thing in a suit, right?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? That's just the nature of it. And those things, like a good defensive coach will tell you, don't strip it. Separate him from the football. You see what I mean? There's a different mentality that goes with that turnover. Like, you see the ball in the air, go get it.
He said, Kenny G said this week, he said, quote, "I'm pretty unhappy. Definitely a lot of things that I can fix. There's good, but there's a lot of bad. I need to be better with my hands. I've got all the powers in the world, but without hands, it kind of makes taking those blocks on hard. Just focusing on my hands and hips." Anthony Weaver apparently said this week that he's been playing robotic, according to the Miami Herald.
So you're doing in how can I explain this? You can do things to say you did what was asked of you, or you can do things to be successful, right? Both are the same act, but both come with a different energy. You know what I mean? And so I think for young guys, it almost works the other way. That's the thing that I like raise the eyebrow about. Mm-hmm. Usually young players come in and play wild and they do the wrong thing all the time, but you love their energy. Very rarely you have somebody to say, "Oh, you're supposed to be in this gap," and you stand up and he's exactly in that gap and not, you know, just a wild thing. Usually a lot of players, they have to come up to you and say, "Hey, I love your energy. Love your energy." He said, but we gotta do things.
Taper it back a little bit.
Right, exactly. But so it'll come. He like nothing Weaver said was wrong. Mm-mm. Nothing he said
I loved it.
Isn't defensive football and how a defensive minded coach acts. And guess what? You look at the crazy offensive linemen, offensive line coaches, they say the same thing on the other side. It's a physical sport. Like, you have to be physical, right? Like, you want the football, you want a turnover, go take it. It's a turnover. They ain't going to give it to you. Go take it. It's the mentality behind all that, though. And that's when good things start happening.
Right.
And so that's kind of the attitude.
Just need it, dude.
You need it.
Need some feel good.
You also need the team to start playing a certain way. Like, it's hard to look at your team and say, yeah, they're not making a ton of mistakes, but at the same time, they don't seem to be playing to win.
No impact, yeah.
They're not playing. And it goes to, I'd say, Mike McDaniel. Is he playing quarterback because the offensive line can't? I mean, is he calling plays because he thinks the offensive line can only protect a certain amount of time? Or is he calling plays to win the game and tell them they better get their ass in gear and do what's needed to be done to win? You see what I mean? Because a lot of the plays that they call are like, "Oh, my God, I'm scared of this situation, right? Without even seeing whether it'll work or not.
For sure.
And I would
say, you're more worried about the mistake than making them
right.
Make a mistake.
And so, therefore, you put yourself in, you want a nice soft landing, you want to land on a pillow or whatever. Yeah, sometimes you got to risk it to reap the
biscuit.
I think you set yourself up for that one.
I know.
That's the saying. That's what they say.
As I was saying.
No, but that's what they say, though, dude.
You can't get mad, Leroy.
Dude, we're not talking about biscuits. We're talking about kicking ass, and you're talking about biscuits.
I thought the football was known as the biscuit.
No, it's not.
I think it is.
No.
You sure?
Oh, how about the pigskin?
I've heard that, too.
Oh, so now we got two.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever called the football a biscuit.
I think so.
No, nobody has.
The rock.
Nobody has it.
The biscuit.
The rock. Yeah. I heard pigskin.
Toting the rock.
Yeah. I never heard somebody say, "Toting that biscuit." Why do you do? Why? Do you understand why you have so many problems when it comes to, like, situations?
Perhaps.
Do you understand why we call you Loki?
No, I don't like it.
What? Really?
Yeah.
You just stirred up something for no reason just now.
Oh, we got the real 22 now. That's my guy, Wiggs.
Mm-hmm. I saw Khalil.
Oh, is he?
I realized that I am a very short man.
Mm-hmm. We're not small people.
I know. I'm like, yikes. By the way, he did put on a little weight.
Oh, really?
But not.
But not swollen.
Yeah, not
enough
swollen.
For me to ask him if he got those things registered.
I really want you to, and you said you were so.
Dude, why?
We'll take a break. We're live here from Heat Media Day. We do expect more people to roll on in here.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.